We are up and running at CBS.com. Welcome to Survivor Live. Chris Booker, Richard Hatch, back for another installment of...
Where are we? Oh, it's Thursday. Here we go.
City, Survivor Live. Yeah. No, it's a show. It's where you call in and you ask us Survivor questions. If you have points to make about tonight's show about Vanna watching Survivor, we urge you to do that. Our phone number, got it right here, 646-CBS-1000. You call up, you ask the questions, and well, we take care of you there.
That's just the kind of show we are. It's all about you this week again. Whatever you want to talk about, we're here to do that. We're going to hit tonight's episode. We're going to talk about the promos, what's coming up for Survivor Vanuatu at 8 p.m. tonight.
We've also got an awesome guest again, as we do on Thursdays. We got somebody fun from the past who you can ask what she's got on her mind, what she thinks about this show, what she thought about how she played the game in a couple of situations in the past, and should be a fun day.
Very cool. Are you going to tell everybody who this guest is?
Tina Wesson.
I find it so funny how, like, you know all of the survivors, and I know you played with her in All Stars, but she left week one. So how did you really get to know her that well? Because as you sit and have a conversation with her, it's like you guys have been old friends for 100 years.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, there are very, very few people from the Survivor series that have become friends of mine. I mean, you know, there are many who have become friends with one another, but I live in Rhode Island and am separate. But somehow Tina and I have really kind of stayed in contact. We both have kids the same age, and she's just really an awesome person. So I've kind of kept in touch with her. We even just saw each other recently. She came up to Newport, Rhode Island, and she's terrific. So I do know her a little bit better than I know many of the other ones, and I know she'll have some fun explanations for some of the clips that we've got for you. You know, she gets a lot of questions about the way she's played the game and things that have happened in the game and her perspective on other people's gameplay, and so now it's your turn to ask her those same questions and get the answers directly from her. No middleman.
Very cool. Let's get the show started with some phone calls. It's 646-CBS-1000. We'll just go to Christine right now. She's watching us in Kentucky. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
I have a question for Tina. I got the privilege of meeting her when she came to Cincinnati for a community event a couple years ago.
Did you really?
And she's truly a delight and very down to earth. Was walking around somebody's really nice house barefooted, and I just thought it was really cool. And I was just wondering what her thinking was when she was on the show about when they had to build their altars or whatever.
Build their altars, did you say?
Their little idol people, whatever.
Oh, okay.
What her thinking was when she did that, especially coming from a Christian viewpoint.
Well, this is one of those times when we're on a live show, and it's called Survivor Live, and, you know, we haven't really brought Tina in a big welcoming way, but she's on with us, and we're going to let her take this question. So welcome, Tina Wesson.
Tina,
how are you doing?
Hey, Jack, how are you?
We're great. Thanks for joining us. And immediately, the first call, and it's a question for you already.
So, isn't that great?
So get ready.
Makes me feel good.
Tina, did the question make any sense to you? And can you answer that question?
Yes, I know exactly what she was talking about. It's whenever we had to build our tiki things that we threw into the river.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And you know what? Everything with Survivor, you have to separate from real life. And, you know, I didn't take it as any kind of religious voodoo kind of thing. Really, I'm not artistic at all, and all I could think about was, oh my gosh, I can't even draw a good stick person.
Yeah, me either.
Carve one of these silly things. So I spent the whole day carving this thing, and then they told us we're going to throw it in the river. And I'm like, no way, I'm keeping mine.
So you didn't throw it in the river?
Well, yes, they made it.
Oh, okay.
But I'll tell you what I did. This is interesting. In my house, I have a painting of the Herbert River Falls, and sitting beside the Herbert River Falls is the copy of my little tiki thing I had to make. We reframed it, and the artist drew it from a freeze frame and put it in the painting in my den.
That's awesome. And now one of the reasons you did that was just kind of to remember the guys and gals that had gotten the boot, something like that, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah, it was to remember to kind of sacrifice to the river for all the things that the Outback had given to us.
Yeah, now that's what the caller's talking about, wondering if that was, you know, problematic based on your being a Christian or whatever. But I hear you saying that it was just, you know, just a symbol, just something you were doing as part of the game, and it didn't cross over into anything religious for you.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah, yeah. That happens a lot in the game, I think, where people have lots of different people have lots of different perspectives mm-hmm. about what's going on or how it impacts them, and you've just got to kind of go with the flow. Isn't that so?
Absolutely, yeah. No doubt about it. And I think with everybody who goes on the show, if you were brought up in the Christian belief system, and especially in the fundamentalism
yeah.
that a lot of people from the South are raised in, you know, you have so many times during the game where you question morally, is this the right thing to do?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, once again, it's just one of those situations where you have to put into perspective that you're just playing a game. This is not real life. And if you aren't able to separate the two, then you're going to have a problem, and you probably shouldn't even apply for the game.
And Tina, doesn't it seem to you that people are having problems still, which drives me freaking nuts? Still, people look like they're having problems to me, separating the game from real life and morals and ethics, etc.
Well, I think, Richard, I think you would agree with this, too. There's certain people that don't need to apply for the game.
Yeah.
And they keep applying. You know, people who can't swim. People who've never been camping.
Yeah, you know, but that's fun.
They keep
like
laughing.
It people that don't know how to swim are forced to swim. I'm like, you might drown. Cool.
It is just the craziest thing. And what they're doing is they give up. You know, they're taking a position as someone who would really be a great player, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. But are you referring to last week's show, was it? When, who was it that couldn't? Was it Lisa? No, it was...
No, Bubba.
Who couldn't swim?
Was it Bubba that originally couldn't swim?
Yeah, but he did a great job, I gotta say.
Yeah.
Bubba learned to swim literally like a month before the show.
He did fine, but who was the woman that couldn't even get down to release the thing?
Oh,
it's the one I always confuse. It wasn't Lisa.
It wasn't Julie. It wasn't
Leanne.
Leanne.
It was Leanne.
That name would have never come
That's where that came from in your head, Tina, where Leanne just couldn't get underwater and stopped the whole game, basically?
Yeah, it was Leanne, and then from some of the other survivors previous to this, and it seems like almost every series there's one person who just learned to swim.
So what's your take overall, Survivor Vanuatu, Tina?
I'm loving the show, actually. I think the scenery is probably the best so far.
It is gorgeous. There's no question.
I'm really enjoying that. You know, and...
So would you rather be there than Australia?
No. Australia was just the ultimate because we didn't have any insects.
Oh, yeah.
The temperature, it was nice and warm. We didn't have as much rain, even though we did have a flood. We didn't have as much rain as, like, Survivor All-Star and some of these other places.
Yeah, All-Stars. Don't remind me.
Oh. Let's continue with our calls at 646-CBS-1000. Right now we go to Christy, who's watching in Pennsylvania. Hi, Christy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. What's Christy. Your question?
I wanted to know, first of all, does Tina think that she was misportrayed as the winner that didn't deserve it or something of that, because she was like the first one to be kicked off of Survivor All-Stars? And I also wanted to know when you plan on having Rupert on your show.
Who? Plan on having
Rupert.
Who? Who's that?
Well, thank you for your call. We'll let Tina answer first, and I'll deal with this whole Rupert thing in a second from now. But go ahead, Tina. What do you think?
Okay. Hey, Christy. Not at all. I knew going in that unless the producers did something to level out the playing field, such as put all of the winners on the same tribe, that we would all be targeted. And I didn't have a bit of a problem with that because, to be honest, if I was in the shoes of the other players, I would have done the same thing. You know, we've had our chance, we won our money, you know, get rid of us. And I would have done the same thing, so there's no hard feelings.
Oh, Tina, I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have gotten rid of the winners necessarily. For me, the winners are the ones who knew how to play the game the best, so I would have used them a while. And I think that the other people on All-Stars should have kept some of us around for a while to help them with the mental strategy of the game. Because even though they played the game before, they didn't play it it well, even again in the All-Star version.
Yeah, but everybody's cocky. Nobody wants to hear that they didn't play the game well. They all thought they were playing their own sort of game in their head. But as a viewer just watching the show, I got to be honest with you. I wanted you gone.
Like, yeah.
You're torn, though. Like, I want you gone, but I kind of want to watch you, see what you're going to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're like, oh, well, someone already won $1 million. Let somebody else win it. It's like the Red Sox winning the World Series last night. It's like, oh, it's been since 1918. Ah, I got to root for them, you know? And that's kind of the same kind of vibe.
Yeah, I suppose. But, I mean, they got rid of the five or six winners right off the fifth, you know, in the fifth or sixth.
Well, they even said it on the show. They were like, we got to get rid of the people that won money. I mean, they
and then look how they played afterwards.
Yeah.
The people that played afterwards kept making the stupidest mistakes that have been repeated time and time again. Do you think Tina would have sent Amber back to Rob? Or gotten rid of her? What would you have done, Tina?
Oh, she's out of it.
All right! All right! But you know, what would they do when they were all, oh, she, you know, I have my, Rob's my friend, and I told him I'd owe him a favor, and oh, please.
That's so funny. And let me answer the Rupert portion of the question here.
What portion?
The Rupert portion. Ooh. She asked about Rupert on the phone there. You know, I always liked Rupert, and it's funny, and maybe Tina will have her own kind of point of view on this, but as a viewer, he was kind of like the big cuddly guy that we all loved, and we all felt like he was a do-gooder and like a, you know, this weird-looking, I don't know, something out of Harry Potter, you know what I mean? Like
character.
The ogre, you know? Yeah. And he just always seemed really nice, and as a viewer, we just all kind of liked him, you know? And every person that has been on that island with him is like, ugh, there's nothing going on there. And it's just so funny to me. So what was your kind of thinking of Rupert when you met him?
Me?
Yeah, Tina.
Well, I tell you what, I'm one of these people that I think goodness follows people who do good, and I am very impressed with how Rupert has lived his life in the past and the sacrifices that he has made by mentoring these youths. And I didn't get to know him that well because I was only here for 3 days. And so basically the only thing I can say is that I'm glad he's got the $1 million just because he has, you know, the guy's not made over, what, $17,000 in his whole life.
Oh, wow.
And I like seeing his sacrifices that he's made in life rewarded.
I'm with you. I think he's done really well. I think he's, you know, a real contributor to society. I'm just really blown away by how people have been drawn to him, and I haven't understood why. Good for him. I'm with you with that.
I hope we have him on the show.
Oh, have you spent much time with him, Richard?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah, I've spent quite a bit of time with him. I spent very little time with him on the island, but then somehow I've ended up seeing him at all these different places, and one of them was at the finale for quite a while, and then one of them was out in L.A. at something. I can't even remember what, and I got to talk to him. And in real life, he seems really gentle and genuine, etc. But come on, Tina. He was pretty explosive and angry and all kinds of other things during the game.
Oh, sure. And, you know, being on his tribe, I could see where when the cameras were on, you know, he's much more animated. But, I tell people that all the time. In the game of Survivor, you've got characters and you've got players.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've even got some characters who are players, but for the most part, you can separate the two.
Now, that's a smart distinction.
Yeah,
I hadn't made that before.
That's
characters
good.
And players. I love it.
I like that. Our phone number here is 646-CBS-1000. Pick up your phone, ask a question, you'll get your answer, just like Maria did in Louisiana. How you doing, sweetie?
Hi, how are y'all today?
Good,
Maria. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to see what Tina's take was, like kind of like a critique on Lisa's play last week when she got booted off. I also wanted to tell Richard, I saw his episode of Becker. I think he did great.
Thank you very much. I
Hold
appreciate
on.
That.
Hold on.
What?
You were on Becker?
You didn't know that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've had some fun opportunities as a result of this show.
That is awesome.
It was fun. He's a great guy, and the show's a fun show, and they had me playing a character who had been stranded on some island or something. And
what a stretch.
Might have come back with all kinds of diseases. And, of course, I was just ready to get my clothes off.
He's like, no, you don't need to take your clothes off.
I need to see you as a thespian.
I got to see that. I'm surprised you weren't nominated for an Emmy or something.
Come on, you're going to make Tina forget the question.
Oh, yeah, Tina, go ahead and answer the question. I can goof on him later.
Oh, but I'm sorry, I missed that, Richard. You should have called me. I would
like to see me.
Oh, all right. I'll call. I don't even know when these things air half the time.
As far as Lisa's play, I really don't understand why the woman had such a beef with her. I mean, they really got into it, and I think it goes back to the thing on Survivor where everything becomes so petty. You know, a couple of weeks ago, you had the guys fighting over the best position by the fire. You know?
The fire.
Everything becomes big in Survivor because there's so little
leeway?
Amenities.
Yep.
While they're there. So everything becomes such a big deal. And they made such a big deal out of, what, would Lisa say something that ticked the girl off or something? And just that one little thing was her downfall. I mean, I couldn't see any other reason why they would have voted her off.
Yeah, well, you know, I think she did kind of rub Amy the wrong way. And clearly, Amy wasn't buying Lisa's explanation for a lot of the things that Amy thought Lisa had been doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Amy right now seems to be the player to watch. She's being calm. She's being... Oh, yeah, the FOMO.
But that's exactly where I was going. Now, we're thinking that thus far, of course, if you pay attention to the promo for next week, she's breaking down, which that could be the island. Who knows what's making her break down? Maybe it could be somebody else's play, but it looks like there's a visible crack in her game or in her mental state, and we'll find that out tonight on Vanuatu at 8.
And isn't Sarge crying too in this promo? I think it's Sarge and Amy who are crying in the promo. That's odd.
Another thing that you need to watch is whenever you have one person, like if Lisa rubbed Amy the wrong way and Amy was able to get rid of her, that means people are listening to what Amy has to say.
Right. I agree with you.
So she's in a place of leadership on that tribe for sure.
And that can put you out there in front and make you a target. You can become vulnerable if people are recognizing that you're out front. But if you play it well and you're just looked at as somebody who's a good decision maker and not a threatening person, then you can hang in there and do really well.
Tina, I want to ask you in a moment about Scout's play, but let's take a couple more calls first at 646-CBS-1000. Matt is watching Survivor. I'm sorry, Judy is watching in Ohio. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
How are you? What can we do for you?
I have a question.
Sure.
From your area of expertise, who is the most undeserving player so far in this game who you would not like to see win the game?
Good question. I hate that word deserving. Who is the most undeserving? That's been used so many times over season after season after season. I don't think that the game has anything to do with who deserves this or who deserves that, other than, from my perspective, from their ability to play the game. I think that's one of the words that crosses over and gets people a little bit, you know, emotionally tied, like morally this person deserves it or, you know, that kind of thing.
Rupert deserved to win because he was a do-gooder in life. Funny thing is, Rupert did get $1 million and Rupert didn't win.
Well, he didn't win.
He didn't win, but he did get $1 million.
Which is completely outside of the game.
Right. But, you know, somebody at CBS, whatever, the heartstrings, like, hey, vote for your favorite guy, and the guy got $3 million.
He did get $3 million.
Deserving.
But it's completely outside of Survivor, outside the game. The game was over, and it was a week later, and more power to him that America was drawn to him for whatever reason, as we've gone through it before. Good for him. He got $1 million. Super duper.
I don't have a problem with the word deserving, because look at Amber. Did she deserve the $1 million? She won by default. She only got one vote, and that was Shein. The rest were anti-Rod votes.
Oh, my gosh, Tina. Of all the people, I never thought that would come out of your mouth.
Well, you brought it up. You brought up the word, and I don't have anything against Amber, but in the game of Survivor, I think deserving does have a place.
Well,
because the people who are out there, they're working it, they're strategizing, they're having to come up with new alliances and playing the game.
Yep.
That's what, whenever I use the word deserving, that's what it means to me.
Okay, listen, this is perfect timing because we've got a clip of you that we're going to go to in just a second. And when you talk about Amber not deserving it, how do you know Amber wasn't the biggest player in the game who just kept it under the radar? You know,
because she ended up marrying the guy. Well, that's why.
Well, sure, but she still could have been playing the game brilliantly. Like, Tina, you've caught all kinds of heck for the way in which you won. But I know from talking to you and from talking to Colby, you were playing the game all the way along. But that didn't come across to a lot of viewers. Before you respond, I want to show this clip. Take a look.
Wrong number of the chart. But you're also a runner, Ethan.
I know, but that's a disadvantage.
No.
You got to be silly not to bring a winner to the finals, too.
I just don't want you hanging around because you're the winner.
You honestly think that?
Yeah. Nobody out here wants to reward another winner. Sorry, guys. It's our game now. Get the hell off our playing field.
Whatever you do, vote for Gina tonight. You have a better chance tonight. You vote Gina.
I think Ethan and I need to stick together because if we are the first two targets, we need to be trying to figure out for ourselves, well, what can we do as targets to stay in the game?
What to do, what to do. That's another to do.
Hopefully. That's not the clip I was waiting for, but
right. It'll work.
We can talk about this clip, or we can address the deserving question.
Talk about this clip, and right. Get back to addressing.
So in that clip, there's you talking to Jenna and Ethan about who's going to go, and Ethan was being recruited by Jenna to get rid of you.
Right. One of us had to go, and it was very open in our camp.
Yeah.
Jenna was very vocal. One of us was going.
Yeah.
And I knew that they would probably keep Ethan because of his strength.
So
the only chance I had was trying to recruit one of the non-winners and come with me and Ethan, and it wasn't happening.
Nobody. Yeah. Nobody was biting. Nobody was willing to go along.
And, you know, Tina, you just said something that I think is really intriguing that, you know, let's apply it to Vanuatu. You said, you know, we try to keep him for the strength. The strength is being voted off of Vanuatu. It's kind of weird, like anyone that seems powerful at all, physically, is getting the boot. And they equated it to like the young people. I think they called them the sorority girls in the beginning. Whatever the reason is, the guys, the big guys, the athletic guys are all getting the boot. It doesn't seem like it's always been like that before. And it's a new kind of play at Vanuatu, I think. Well, do you agree?
It's a stupid kind
of
play.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Survivor is so, right now you could write a book on how to play the game, and Richard would be really good at this as well, because it only makes sense. There's going to be all these challenges, and I had told Colby at one point in time, you know, if the tribe doesn't advance, we don't advance as individuals.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to tribal council. The only way not to go to tribal council is to win the challenges, and the only way to win challenges is to be physically strong.
So the only good strategy in a survivor game is a flexible strategy, a strategy in which in the beginning you're working with that team really well to stay solid, so you stay away from that tribal council, and then an individual strategy after the merge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Different, totally different game after the merge.
Okay. We're going to take some more calls here. 646-CBS-1000. We'll address more of the strategy, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds. We'll continue with your calls. This is Survivor Live on CBS.com.